In this episode of the Business Growth Podcast, I'm talking with Jim Small. He's the founder of Sante Realty. And Sante may not be a company that you've heard of because they're on the investment side. But Jim's going to share his story of how he has built this company to a $200 million portfolio. Before that, he had a property management company that was managing $2.5 billion in assets. So there's a lot to learn in this episode. We're going to dive into the core values of his company. We're going to talk about raising capital, managing people, and logistics, and the importance of having a big why. Now, there are a million things that you can take notes of, but what I really want you to catch in this episode, what really made an impact for me, are those five core values. If you don't have core values in your business, then possibly adopting or borrowing some of those core values for his business to yours may make a critical impact in your life. So we're going to jump into the interview right now. Jim's going to give a quick introduction, and then we're going to dive into it. All right. So I have Jim Small with me here on a podcast, and we're going to be talking talking differently about raising capital and the relationship with capital, and also ways that business owners can bring additional revenue into their personal income and possibly even business income. So Jim, if you wouldn't mind just giving us a really quick introduction and bio to who you are and what you guys do, and we're gonna jump into the main conversation.
Sure, well, thanks for having me. Really excited to be on the podcast today and to share what we've learned with your audience as well. So, quick background is essentially, after business school, I wanted to get into ownership of property and investing in real estate and didn't have the money, the capital, or the rich uncle to help me out. So I started a property management company. We managed to grow that, certainly had some trials and tribulations along the way, a lot of mistakes, and it being my first business after getting my MBA. And so that ended up being successful over time, and we grew that over about a decade to manage 10,000 residential properties for other people, which is about $2.5 billion of property. And eventually we were able to sell that business essentially to an industry competitor. And then we started investing in real estate in small apartment deals, 10 units and 20 units and 30 units. And today we have almost 2,000 apartments, some retail and commercial properties as well. And almost a $200 million portfolio. So we're excited to have grown a lot with our investors, grown as a business, and recovered from our mistakes.
Up next, Jim is going to talk about what he did after he ran out of capital. So you'll remember he sold his business for a healthy chunk of money, and he started putting it into apartment complexes. But you get to a point when you just don't have enough money. And you're doing all the right things, but your runway is gone. Or maybe you want to do more deals and you just can't. He's going to explain what he did and how that worked out.
No, at first we self-funded. I mean, we were lucky enough to have sold the property management company for a nice gain. And so we bought actually a 10 unit and a 10 unit apartment complex. But very quickly thereafter, we ran out of our own money. So I think one of the things of a highly capital intensive business is you've got to use capital from other sources to grow, unless maybe you're a Rockefeller or a Carnegie or something. But we were self-funding. We did two deals and looked around and said, okay, we ran out of capital. They're doing fine. But when you buy something that's passive income, other than collecting rent on the first of the month, which is now electronic, there's not much to do the rest of the month. And so started talking to some friends of what we were doing, started explaining how we were doing investing, and really kind of stumbled into having other people partner with us to invest it passively in these real estate deals. So we self-funded it first, and now we contribute, and we obviously put some money into the front end of all of our deals, but we raise both debt and equity capital for every transaction we do now going forward.
Okay. Is there a different relationship between raising debt and raising equity in those deals?
I mean, it's certainly a different audience. So if we're talking to lenders, we don't normally do a lot of deals with your traditional banks. We do them more with lending sources like Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, some of these larger institutions that are focused on real estate lending. And so they want to see things a certain way. And so how we communicate, what spreadsheet formats we have, what narratives we have around the business plan are specific to the debt sources, the lending sources. And that's very different from our partners who invest with us on the equity side, who are oftentimes, just because our background as entrepreneurs or business owners, oftentimes it's successful business owners that are very smart and very busy people, and communicating with them is a total different methodology and approach. So yeah, the relationship is very different depending if we're sourcing debt or sourcing equity.
Okay, that makes sense. So my thinking, and I think a question that a lot of listeners are probably having is, it's very logical and actually easy for an investor to go in and buy a small multifamily property. I mean, I've owned multifamilies. It's pretty easy to do. But once you get into purchasing a 30-unit and larger, it becomes a more complex deal. And so how much of the complexity and success of a transaction is on skill, and how much of it is actually based on the tenacity to want to make it go through, and just the actual the mindset in that piece?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're certainly not, actually, I should say, the smartest guys out there. So I think a lot of what we do is based on tenacity and perseverance, because, you know, you've got different stakeholders in any given deal, whether that's the lending source we just talked about or the equity source. They have different goals and objectives and perspectives on risk. And then you also have other third parties. You've got the seller involved. You've got the operations team and the management team's perspective. Oftentimes we do renovations on the properties we buy, so we have construction team's perspective. We have the insurance company that may not see eye to eye with the lender. And so a lot of it is a lot of moving parts. I mean, it's the classic multitasking and juggling a lot of different perspectives. And over time, we've learned how to navigate those requirements or desires or needs from different stakeholders to achieve them all. And then, of course, I mean, in our deals, because we do private securities, we've got the Securities and Exchange Commission. We have to adhere to their rules. We have to adhere to real estate law. I mean, there's just so many moving parts. So on the larger deals, you're right, the complexity grows exponentially from just, you know, a person or a family just buying one property, having someone else manage it and get income. When you start to get all these other players involved, it does take a lot of work. And for example, we've got a standard process we use called the Sante Realty Unique Process. And there are five distinct steps, and we don't deviate from those five distinct steps. It takes us a lot of time to go through that. Oftentimes, we'll spend months underwriting a deal. We'll spend money on it. We'll spend consulting fees. We'll fly people out to properties, and we'll determine that it's not investor worthy, and kill the deal. And that, you know, is a significant investment on our part, and we probably do that 100 to 1. For every deal we take out to investors and lenders to actually close, we've looked at 99 other deals, is another way to say that. So there's a lot of perseverance and tenacity required to do what we do. But again, it's probably because we're not the smartest guys out there. So if you know a better way, please let us know.
That's really funny. You know, that's good humility. And it's not actually like the fake humility.
No, we're looking for how to do it easier and smarter. So we're trying to learn every day.
That's wonderful. So, and I kind of want to ask a couple questions. One, I should give some background, and most of the listeners know I have a real estate background. I owned a real estate brokerage in my early 20s, and I had an investment company. But in the turnkey real estate world, which is to bring listeners up to speed, is when people are purchasing a house from an investor that's already been remodeled and it has tenants in there, and you're just purchasing this, we'll call it an asset. One of the hardest pieces to get right in the turnkey world is good property management. What is one of the hardest things to get right in your business model?
Yeah, I mean, can't agree more. The property management is tough because that's really the execution, and underwriting with spreadsheets and reports and analysis, it is more of a science. It's pretty cut and dry, although it there can be some moving parts and there can be some educated guesses. You can get all that right and perfect, but if your property management doesn't execute for you, and we used to self-manage until recently, it's a real challenge. I mean, and the reality is property management's a people business. So for all the listeners who have a lot of staff and people involved in their business, you know how challenging it is when someone gets sick or someone gets hurt or their family member is sick or hurt or there's a tragedy. That impacts your business. And so when we've got multiple people at every property, and that's in 10 different states across the country, across every US time zone, that's really a challenge. And so that's again why recently, after probably 8 years in this business and 10 in previous property management businesses, we recently partnered with one of the largest property management companies in the country, who have a deep bench of individuals and team members that they can rely on to staff our properties and to be there for the resilience and redundancy if someone gets sick or hurt or injured. And so executing that, and of course the systems they rely on and the procedures they rely on, all of that's critical as it is in any business. It's even more critical in our business because we've been scaling so much. We've been on the Inc. 5000 list the last 3 years in a row. Plan to probably continue to do that next year, seeing our growth as well. And so as you're scaling, we feel you've got to look for great solutions and great partners and great relationships. And even if that means you outgrow yourself. And so we've done that. And again, I couldn't pick a better example than what you picked as property management. That for us is where the rubber hits the road. And that's where we spend a lot of time and energy executing. And even with that, even if that's with partners, that's still a huge portion of our day-to-day work here.
Okay, interesting. Now, were there certain tipping points that caused you to go with your current property manager over someone else? And what the reason why I'm asking this question is because I want to understand your lens or your filter of how you're choosing business owners. We have to find partners or vendors that we're working with. And so I want to understand that filtration process.
Sure. And for us, we first look at our core values and see, does what we need, who we want to work with for what we need, fit those core values. So for us, I'll just run through them really quickly. As a company, transparency is a core value. We try to be very transparent with our investors, with our lenders, with all these stakeholders. And you can imagine from what I said earlier, they don't all have the same perspective or goals or objectives. So being transparent with all of them sometimes is a challenge, but we want to live that every day. Continuous learning is another core value for us. So we want people as partners, team members, everyone who's also bettering themselves and bettering their organizations. So continuous learning is critical. Our third one is do what's right. So even if that costs us money or effort or energy, you know, there's been times where we've had a situation where someone as a resident of one of our units was facing a personal tragedy and the legal documents said they had to stay in their lease. And we certainly could have enforced that and been very difficult to work with, but we did not. We did what's right, living our core values and worked with them to help them move on and get out of that lease and those kind of things. So that's really critical for us. The other one that people like and talk about a lot in our organization is no jerks. And so there's everyone from our receptionist to me at the top of the organization can kill a relationship with the third party if they act in a jerky way. And that's particularly true at the beginning of a relationship. So if someone is coming to interview as a new employee and they're a jerk to the receptionist, they certainly will not join the team. We've had people offer us real estate deals that were very lucrative, but the broker was a total jerk. We did not do that deal. We've had very wealthy people act like jerks that want to invest with us, and we turned them down. And so we really try and every day live our core values to the utmost, and we want to empower everyone to do that. So we just use the same filtering system internally and externally for how we develop relationships and how we maintain
relationships. So it sounds like you're actually using that filtration on both sides, from the point of who you're working with, but also when someone wants to take up the business opportunity to work with you.
Absolutely. We have a screening process for investors to come in and work with us. We have a screening process for our residents who want to live in our communities. And we kind of have a screening process that we even put lenders through that want to lend us money. It's just really critical that we live our core values every day. It's quite stressful when we, in the past, have tried to deviate from them. It never works out in the end. And so we've just learned over time, whether there's a short-term trade-off or not, we must adhere to our core values. And that's our screening tool always for everything. And it serves us really well.
You know, I think values that every company, those are ones that some of our listeners, if they don't have core values for their company, could borrow, or they could take and they could adjust slightly, but totally valuable. So as we're learning a little bit more about the filtration process, we're learning about how you're raising capital. Some of the things that pique my interest, or what I want to know about, is your business model. It's a little bit different than a typical business that you're going to hear on a podcast. I think that in many ways you've amplified the model. You're thinking a lot bigger and a lot better. So can you help our listeners understand what your business is and the model, and then we're going to dive into a couple more things.
Sure. So we've, again, learned, now being in real estate and management and ownership for almost two decades now, what works well for us and really what how we started and how we continue to grow. So by executing our five-step process, which I'll quickly outline in a second, we achieve perpetual passive income. And it's kind of a mouthful, so I'll say that again. The perpetual or permanent passive income is what we're trying to achieve through real estate investments. And so when we went into this, we said, how can we get not just assets or income, but how can we make this permanent? How can we make this for our legacy, for our children, and even maybe multi-generations? How can they benefit from this hard work that we're doing in real estate? And we said, well, if we can make the income off these assets permanent, what do we need to do in order to achieve that? And again, for us, it's a very simple five-step process. The first one is we have what we call the Sante acquisition advantage. That means we have access to acquire properties nobody else has. They're off-market deals. They're through relationships. They're not just out in the public domain. That's a key step one of our process. The second step towards achieving that perpetual passive income is to conduct what we call the Sante due diligence discovery process. And through the Sante due diligence discovery, we literally rule out 99 out of 100 properties. They don't make it through that process. It's like, you know, Navy SEALs training for real estate. You just don't get everybody through that. Even if you get to that stage, you don't get everybody through that. And so only if the one property out of 100 gets through that process do we take it out to our lenders and our investors and say, okay, we want to buy this, and we're looking for the right fit investors, and we're looking for the attractive debt to put this deal together. We close on that property, and then we go into the first stage of ownership. For us, that third step right after we close is called the Sante Renovation Refresher Program. And the Renovation Refresher Program is basically that we're doing some renovations to refresh the property. We're typically buying properties that are already existing. Maybe they've had some neglect to them from the previous owner, or they're just a little worn down and tired. And so we renovate these to make them nice, fresh, exciting, clean places for our community members to live and reside. And when we're finished with the Sante Renovation Refresher Program, we then turn it over to our property management team, and we execute what's called the Sante Asset Management Method. That's a very methodical way of us managing properties and assets for decades. So, for example, when we buy a property, we plan to own it forever. And by doing that, it kind of changes what you do day to day. With that mindset of owning it forever, okay, if something breaks, so you don't just put a Band-Aid on it.
What I'm hearing is
replace or repair it long term so it can last for decades. We don't just fill a crack in a parking lot.
You guys are running this, like,
mill the whole parking lot, take it down a few inches, and then repave that whole parking lot so it can last 20 or 30 years. So we just do a lot of things different because of the mindset of perpetual passive income. And what all those things result in is our fifth step of our unique process. And the fifth step is the Sante Investor Cash Flow Maximizer, where we're literally maximizing cash flow for our investors in the short term and the long term. And so the secret sauce of all of that is not just underwriting it right, not just doing the right renovations, not just managing it right, but even how we handle the debt and the equity financing all come together to be the unique process we execute with our investment partners.
Coming up, Jim is going to be talking about his big why, the reason why he does what he does. And this is critical for all of us entrepreneurs and business owners. And Jim's big why is so powerful. And I think for any of us where it's health related, that's where a lot of the power comes in. So you're going to hear the big why, and hopefully you have one of those as well.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly started investing. I mean, we started investing, quite frankly, for my family when one of my daughters got ill, and we found out she had a genetic disorder. She would need lifetime support and income. We wanted to make sure we could provide that, and so we started to build our investments around that goal of helping fund those medical needs and healthcare costs. And then it just really started making sense for everybody, which is whether you're an advertising agency owner and you're selling time, or you're a lawyer selling your time, or a doctor selling your time, or a manufacturing business selling widgets, everyone's really trading time for money. And we couldn't do that because we never knew, my wife and I never knew when time would run out, and we would have to have that income for our daughter. So we built this program to be that perpetual passive income. And then really our friends that we had had from when I was in business school, from when I worked previous jobs, and then from organizations I've been part of and lucky to have really good friends in EO and YPO, they wanted that passive income as well. So it just fits for a lot of people, and it started very selfishly for our family, but it ended up working for a lot of families. And I think that's why a lot of our investors are successful business owners or executives and want to do the same for their family. And so we just keep executing the same model over and over again.
That's awesome. You know, I wish that you and I had a lot more time to talk, because we would be going into raising additional capital. We'd be talking about the relationship of that. We'd be talking about the business model. And I think one of the things that I'd really want to be talking about is what you see in the horizon of real estate and the horizon of this type of model that you have going. But we don't have time to do that. We may have to come back for a second episode. Is that good? Awesome.
That'd be great.
Jim, I would love it if you could provide a way that people could get in touch with you to say thank you, and then also to follow up to learn more if they want to hear more about the Sante product.
Sure. Well, if you are interested, we have a few resources to share with them. Best way to get to all of those is through our main website, which is santerealty.com. Maybe we can put a link to it, but it's Sante, which is a French word, which means to your health. You can imagine that came from our reason to start the business in the word realty. .com. On there, you can get access to our book. We wrote a book called The Perpetual Passive Income Machine. So you can get that. It's also available on Amazon, but we can send you that book. There's also a video to watch of how this process works. And then just to learn more about us and our track record and our team are all through there. And we'd be happy to connect and help anyone in any way we can.
Perfect. So I'll make sure that that gets into the show notes. Are you active on any socials, LinkedIn or Twitter, so people can give a shout out and say thanks?
Yeah, we're definitely on LinkedIn. We've also got a YouTube channel. We try to put some videos up on there as well. Not so much Twitter, but continuing to add more and more social media all the time. So stay tuned for more coming soon.
Thank you for spending some time with us today. Listeners, if you do have questions about raising capital and this style of, you know, business model, or if you're, you know, if you happen to have sold a business and you're just looking for some additional passive income returns with a company that has values, this is the place to go. I hope that you guys can click that link and learn more about Sante and at least the good things that it's doing.
Thank you for having us, Spencer. It's been great.
I want to thank you listeners for being a part of this episode, and I especially want to thank Jim. Please give him a shout out. A special piece on this podcast. As all of you know, I'm not an affiliate. I'm not compensated for this. But if you happen to have a business that's growing and you're looking for additional, you know, call it passive income or income in your life, and you know you're not going to put it back into your business and just separate it for retirement, this is something that you want to consider. Sante Realty has an amazing group of people, and they offer a pretty amazing return on your investment capital. So I would suggest that this is something you want to do. Reach out to Jim. He's a great guy, and so is his team. I've been able to sit down and talk with them and really learn about their product and offering. For all of you other listeners, if this isn't a fit, it's totally fine. And another thing you could do is pass this on to a friend. And this may be a better option for them. With anything else, we love your reviews, and we love all of the support that you're giving our podcast. Thanks for the shout outs and everything else that you're doing.